Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to another Redshirt Friday edition of Roll Route, the program where we gather every day at this time. Well, we do it Monday through Friday. And what we do when we gather is continue to address the issues between food producers and food consumers. Angel Cushing joining us from Lyons County, Kansas. She's back. And maybe it's really fitting that I thought, you know, it's just been way too long. Angel needs to be here like at least once a month. But as I was setting this up, Angel, I just thought about, you know what today is?
Friday the 13th.
Yes, you are on Friday the 13th. How fitting is that?
Perfect. Perfect.
Angel is not a veteran. She is married to a phenomenal veteran. Tom Cushing continues to fight for liberty, and now he has a champion at his side for property rights and the pursuit of happiness and all things that our kids and grandkids need. How has the new year been treating you, Angel? You've been busy out running around, and apparently the embargo on you not getting out of Kansas has been lifted.
Correct. You know, I've been so busy that I actually made a mistake, Trent. This horrible mistake.
Hold on. Let me write this down. January 13, Angel Cushing says,
well, I made a mistake. I probably technically made the mistake last month, so it would have been the 22 year. But so somebody called me up and said, hey, could you come speak for me on January 20th? And I said, yep, sure, no problem. So I wrote it down on my calendar, January 20th. I'm going to go speak, right? Well, right. I forgot to write who they are and what their contact information is. So unless they call me a few days.
Do you know what state we're
talking
about?
It's in Kansas. That one is in Kansas.
All right. So if you're expecting, you don't remember the event or anything?
I know. I got to fire my secretary. She's fired. I don't have one, but she's fired. So
if you're having a meeting January 20th and you thought Angel was coming, Angel's not coming unless you call her again.
Yeah. You got to call me.
Lost that little memo note that she wrote your information down on.
I did, and it just happened to be in a period of time where there were so many people calling me and contacting me that unless I embarrass myself calling 300 people in my contact list, it's not going to happen. You should really, really call me.
Can't you just call everybody and say, hey, I just want to say Happy New Year. When do you think I'll see you again? Try that.
But then I'll never get off the phone and get any work done. So.
Yeah, welcome to my world.
So if you're out there and you recall inviting me to come speak for you on January 20th, call me.
And if you don't recall it, just forget it. We'll move on.
No, you can go ahead and call me too. That's right. You got my number. You can call me. That's okay.
Oh, my goodness. I've done the same exact thing.
Makes me feel so much better.
Log it in your memory. Like, I'll remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't. I need a second.
For the record, I know for a fact I'll be in Boonville, Missouri next Saturday, January 21st. Okay. I will be there with the Cooper County Cattlemen.
Okay. There's a fundraiser for Protect the Harvest going on about then too, isn't there?
Same day, same state, but about 150 miles apart. I can't be in two places at once, but thanks for bringing that up. The Whitetails Unlimited fundraiser for Protect the Harvest at the Ozark Empire Fairgrounds. You don't need to be present. You could just write a check and send it. Just saying protecttheharvest.com for a free and fed America. How's that? What a prompting you gave me right there.
You're welcome.
Angel, what have y'all been up to in 2023?
Traveling. So far, I've been all over the state. The big GOP conferences are coming up here in the next couple of weeks. And the nice thing about them is that puts all of my state and federal representatives together in the same room so that I can go talk to each and every one before, in a very short period of time. So I'm looking forward to that. Otherwise, I'm getting phone calls for people to come out and come talk to them. There's a lot of folks that want to get involved. There's new county commissioners and new legislatures that have gotten sworn in. So we get to work new resolutions in counties that we haven't been into yet. We have about 50 counties now in this area between Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri, and coming online in Oklahoma here pretty soon. They have about 50 resolutions against National Heritage Areas, too many resolutions against 30 by 30 to really count and give you an accurate number offhand. But as the grocery store prices come up, more and more people are wanting to know how we got to be in this position to begin with, which hit really close to home. Do you know what happened to me just not too long ago?
No, because one you of, never call anybody and check with them to see what's going on. So no,
one of my grown children came in and sat down and said, "I can't afford chicken. I didn't budget it in, and it's now $13 a pound."
Where is chicken $13 a pound?
That was down in the Emporia, Kansas area.
Wow.
It's back down now. It got up there, but it's back down now. So luckily,
back down to what? $9 a pound?
Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. I don't know because I don't buy.
Who's gonna pay $9 a pound for chicken? You buy
people
chicken
that are hungry. Have you seen the price of beef? So luckily, I was able to open my freezer door and hand her packages of chickens that we have butchered here on the farm. So I had this great idea that I'm going to raise these meat birds and I'm going to sell the birds for breeding. I don't think I'm going to make it. I now have too many hungry family members. That
you have to
all
keep
those
some breeding pairs, Angel, or you don't have chickens to eat next fall. Well,
yes, that's true, but I'm not going to have enough to sell because I'm going to have to fill the freezer for the family. That's the situation we're getting into in this country. That's the sad part.
So I was in a grocery store in September in Salt Lake City back when I was debating the animal rights activist at the Salt Lake City Veggie Fest. Should have been there with me. That was great fun. But I went to a local grocery store, and I have the picture. I can document it. I saw chicken for $9.50. I posted that picture and everybody's like, "Oh, that's just a rare exception." No, it's not. We killed 51 million chickens. Eggs are $6.50 a dozen and chickens now $9 a pound. Kelly, I don't remember where we were. We got some chicken strips. They're $2.50 a piece and they're just like little bitty strips.
Yep. Yeah.
But do you think that wakes people up? Are people saying, "Oh, that's bad," and moving on? Or are they saying, "What do I need to do to protect myself in this?"
Well, I think a lot of it, at least in my situation, is how did we get here? And the sad thing is it's happened so incrementally that I don't even think state legislatures and policymakers know how their policies brought us to this point.
I.e. Colorado. You've spent time in Colorado. What did you find there?
That there's a lot of good people. You know, I would have washed off Colorado as a foreign country, but my goodness, there's a lot of good people out there.
Colorado is not only California extended. There are great people in Colorado that are right now crying for help.
Yes. Yes. So we got to do tours out there and a few meetings out there. The more interesting part is after the meeting, the people that come up to you and talk to you and ask you questions or tell you their stories. I think I get more information from that than I do anywhere else. It's kind of like when we went to a USGL meeting, which is US Global Leadership Coalition meeting, which was at the headquarters down in Wichita, Kansas of Cargill, right? So I'm at Cargill headquarters in Wichita, Kansas. And because I have a really hard time driving in the city with my big, huge monster vehicle, I go early, get there early. And I got to talk to the guys that work the front counter and the security folks. And I talked them into a tour afterwards. Do you know what they're doing at one of the largest cattle traders in the United States? They have a kitchen where they are testing fake meat.
Well, you know, Cargill is a pioneer in fake meats. Cargill is on the wrong side of most every global issue as it involves climate change. Cargill, who is invested in the beef business, has obviously given up on the beef business. I have great detail if you want to go into that in a deep dive.
How did they, how are they making any money? I mean, how can you be a cattle trader and you hate, you know, what it is that you're making money on and still be able to make money? That's what I can't figure out. The only thing that I can think is they must be getting some kind of a big, huge subsidy package.
Yeah, I agree with you. We'll take a break. Angel Cushing, my guest, will be back with more Rural Route after this. take this opportunity to remind you, hey, for those that like to go to High Plains Cattle Supply, I'm going to be cutting through there this weekend on my way to the National Western. If you're needing something of a pork variety, let me know. Let Robert know, let Ashley know. But regardless, go into High Plains Cattle Supply. Spin a yarn with Robert if you can catch him. That's not easy because he's driven to be customer service oriented, getting you the supplies you need for the ranching operation. What is the pork? What is the pork jerky supply, Robert? I don't even know. All right. And then also Late Night Energy Council making it possible for us to keep turning the lights on. I suggest you go to the website, lignite.com, get full details about the people behind the scenes that keep the lights on. Life is powered by coal. That is the moral of the story. And the information is abundant about how important and reliable coal is as an energy source. Lignite.com. Welcome back. Trent Luce alongside Angel Cushing, my guest coming to us from the line. I can tell by your flag and your decor, you're at home, Emporia, Kansas. I know that we go through this every single time, but, and I don't spend a lot of time on it, Angel, but when I have you here, when I have Marcy, whatever, I have somebody who really trying to fix the problems in Kansas, I think about my territory, and I consider my territory the Great Plains of America, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota. And while each state has its problems, and I'm speaking from a political standpoint, no state is blatantly doing the things that are exact opposite of the resource providers, the conservative, rural-minded, constitutional abiding citizens of Kansas, like Kansas. You have so many people in leadership positions, even the day you and I spent at the state capitol in Topeka. I can't believe the thought process I see with these folks and how they can be from Kansas. What is going on in Kansas? And don't tell me that Overland Park and Johnson County just has, no, every state has that same liberal foothold, but the state of Kansas just has something else going on. Have you figured that out yet?
Yeah, federal dollars. Nice. And then we have a cars, bars, and cigars attitude. I don't know if you've seen that big news article about.
No, tell me.
It's a campaign finance down here where basically to get a big gambling bill that kind of is not for the benefit of Kansas, this big lobby group came in, threw a big party with lots of cigars and made wonderful, huge campaign contributions and basically bought those representatives. It's a environment of purchase, really. And it's frustrating because I have no money to purchase my representatives. So that's why it's such a struggling uphill battle. And it's hard to say because
tell me about environmental purchase. What does that mean?
It means I don't have, so they, the minute they come into office, and this is the most frustrating thing, I heard a couple of new representatives get on the radio and they said, well, we're told that we don't expect to introduce legislation the first year. Now, why? Their terms are only 2 years. What if they don't want to do a bunch of campaign financing? But you also get that at the federal level too. You know, if you're a junior and you're coming in, don't expect to do anything until after you've won your first re-election. So there's that loyalty to leadership that is a major problem, not just at the federal level, but a lot of these states. And that trickles all the way down to the county, because one of the biggest resistance that I hear for not wanting to pass a resolution is, well, what if the federal government shuts us off financially for our roads and our bridges or whatever project they're working on? I have not seen that happen. They haven't done it. There's just not enough policing in those federal agencies for every county in America. But it's we've become so dependent on federal management that nobody seems to know how to function without it, or they're afraid to.
So case in point, and while it's not gaming, I'm going to come back to that situation. Because I have to be full disclosure, I now have a dog in the fight when it comes to gaming. I'll explain that in a moment. But Republic County, you organized a National Heritage Area meeting in Republic County. We had part. I think we had two of the county commissioners present. A great crowd. We could not have had more momentum against land grabs. And then, as you well know, last fall, I've spent adequate time with the folks of Republic County, Kansas, fighting what was a clear, corrupt wind development project that the people that are making the decisions are financially reaping the rewards of what's going on. And I'm just sitting here perplexed. Angel, I'm like, when we were there, these folks were totally on board with, you can't do land grabs. You can't do these things that are dependent upon subsidies. We need to take care of the land and let the land be the driver. And they don't even let the public speak. I mean, there was public comment, but there were so many things that happened behind the scenes. They passed an ordinance in, I don't think, a special use permit in Republic County without a printed copy of what it is they passed. Who does that? How do you do that? It was all electronic. That means it could be changed at any point in time with the punch of a button.
Yeah, so what they're doing is, and it's the same in every county, so what the federal government is doing is going right down as far to the bottom of local level as they can possibly get in there, putting a lot of money in projects in front of them. We had that all the way down here in Lyon County back when they were trying to ban barbed wire fences. We had some landowners who thought, if everybody starts getting regulated out, this might be an opportunity to grow my business. So with enough money, you can buy local support. And that is the method, because we don't want to scold our neighbors, right? We don't want to ask our neighbors, what are you doing? So the closer that they can get to the neighbors that of the communities we all live in, the better opportunity they have to get that federal project in that county or in that municipality. So right now, one of the biggest questions that I'm getting all over the state of Kansas is public use trails. So there is large firms, engineer firms, that have been hired throughout the state to try to push public use trails throughout all of these counties. So I'm hearing an awful lot of phone calls for that. And so if your county is one of them, the thing that they're not telling you is the money's there to build them. There is no money for maintenance. And if you take a look at Topeka, this is the favorite place for the homeless folks to start camping out. And there's a lot of problems that come with these trails. The areas that they put them in tend to be next to streams and creeks that flood and have trees falling on them. So, but they're trying to talk you into just one little spot here. And then the next week they come in and say, well, you agreed to that. And because you agreed to that, we now have to do the expansion over here. So that is one method of moving the economy in the Great Plains away from industry and agriculture production to tourism and energy production.
Are you familiar with Tara Lynn Romero? She joined me from Jefferson County, Colorado.
I don't know. It doesn't sound, maybe. I'm horrible with names, right?
What most people think about when you and I talk about land grabs or the dangers of 30 by 30, we think about those sprawling ranches or those big farmers that have all this land. It doesn't hurt if we have a little conservation easement on a quarter of it or whatever the case may be. Tara Lynn Romero has a stream that runs through her 0.6 acres, and the local city wants to annex it as part of their park and literally just take it away from her. And she's kind of like a miniature Angel Cushing, and that's not a reference to your size, but rather your desire to be an advocate for all things property rights. And my point is, and I love using the Tara Lynn Romero example, because she's not who people think about when they lose their property or when they have an eminent domain threatened over what they own. She has 0.6 acres and there's a stream in. And what happened, it makes perfect sense on how this come to be. When no kids were in school, their parents were taking their kids or probably sending their kids to the park with somebody. And right next to this park is this stream. And so the kids got used to playing in the stream. Mm-hmm. And Tara Lynn bought this property and she saw people using it like it was public property. She put a stop to it. So now they're they're literally just trying to steal her property. They're trying to take her land away from her. It happens at every level.
Yeah, and it's with the public use trails, that is a favorite through streams. And a lot of these streams go through old neighborhoods. So it's not just country folks that are getting these trails.
Right.
This is also city people. And these trails are going right through neighborhoods. And if they're along the stream, right, when these towns were first settled, they're along the waterways. So you are ripping out the oldest neighborhoods in your town, which is usually your poorest neighborhoods in the town. So these ideas of making the world better hurt the people that are poorest first and the most. So that's a very important thing to consider. You're disrupting. It's not just through barnyards. It's through neighborhoods that they're going to tear out to put these in.
Angel Cushing, my guest, a champion like we all should strive to be, a champion for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We'll be back with more. Angel Cushing from Lyon County, Kansas, after this. Now let's talk about Great Plains Cattlemen's opportunity to be a part of the Brand of Beef program that we choose to be a part of because, okay, I'm going to just walk you through this story. I thought limousine were the answer back in the mid-90s, and we had 300 limousine cows at one time because of the efficiency, because of the yield, because of everything that I saw that needed to happen in the beef business that didn't happen. What we didn't know at the time is that they also possess the myostatin gene for tenderness. Nobody focused on that. Had we focused on that then, we'd have something. Today, the Piedmontese beat everybody to the punch. And now it's about tenderness thanks to the two copies of the myostatin gene, which is a mutant copy, which means it's unregulated muscle growth. When muscle grows faster and more abundant, it's tender, smaller fibers. That's why the consumer loves it, the tenderness aspect. The producers love it because they get finally get paid properly. Details at CertifiedPiedmontese.com and order your steaks. Welcome back. Roll Route, Trent Luce alongside Angel Cushing. Don't you ever, ever apologize to me again for being passionate and articulate and a champion, Angel Cushing.
You know, I wasn't always an articulate person. I'm kind of, this whole process is a learn as I go kind of thing. So anybody that wants to get involved in an issue, you don't have to be an expert. You just jump in and you'll learn as you go. And there's lots of great people along the way like Trent that help them out. So get involved. That's the biggest, my biggest passion is you guys, we got to get involved. And the reason we're in this direction is because of the lack of involvement, right?
Absolutely. Complacency is our only great challenge. And I'm just an old duffer now looking for the Angel Cushings of the world to, you know, like a top, just turn them and spin them, let them go. And actually, just get out of the way. That's all I need to do. Just get out of the way.
We've been in Oklahoma here lately, and I think I'll probably be going back to Oklahoma in the near future. Been to Wyoming. Wyoming was a very interesting place. Oh, hopefully we'll be back in Wyoming sometime this summer as well, and in the spring.
What are the issues you were addressing in Wyoming?
So Wyoming has joint comprehensive planning and zoning, and they are looking at wildlife corridors. And of course, everybody is getting caught up in the endangered species expansion. You've heard that prairie chicken is now back in the threatened category. You know, here in Kansas, there are legislatures who I really, really like here in Kansas. And one of them told me about a water committee. You know, Kansas has a lot of man-made lakes from the 1950s, and they are beginning to silt in, and that is an issue. So they were told that they need to set up a committee to deal with the silting in of lakes. And then, bam, right away, this legislation got introduced. That was backdoor WOTUS, really. So I suspect Kansas is not the only state that's dealing with this. And, you know, the pitch is that communities out in western Kansas, and if you've never been there, they're not growing communities. Communities in western Kansas are starting to abuse or use too much water, and they need to come up with a better way to use water. At the same time, you have the prairie chicken expansion out in western Kansas, now Grizzly Bear expansion up in the Montana region. So I think it's a way to try
to... Don't forget, last week they released the wolves in Colorado.
Yeah, so it's there's a big push for a wildlife corridor in the eastern Colorado, western Kansas, Nebraska area. So I think they're going to try to start pushing those folks out more than they have been in the recent years.
Yeah, and I was sitting here thinking about, you know, a state with a lot of water, because it's not just about scarcity of water. A state like Minnesota with 1,000 lakes, they use that water, even though it's more abundant in Minnesota than other states. They use that water to say, oh, we have to protect the water for the endangered species. And that takes precedent over anybody who's living in Owatonna.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. I think they're using that to push people off of land. They're using, so here in Kansas, for example,
to control the land.
To control, well, no, it's not just control, it's to push them off. So the method of 30 by 30, I'm figuring out, is to close off national parks and our favorite recreation areas for the public, close them down and lock Americans out while you gobble up more land in the front, because we love our recreation. And even the people, hardcore city folks living in tall buildings, they look forward to their recreation every summer. So you have to, especially a big population with weapons, you have to keep them happy by creating more recreation while you lock out the land that you already have. So they have to not just control us, they have to push us off our land into those cities so they can create that recreation while they lock up the public lands.
And I think I agree with you in that regard, but that is a Great Plains initiative. So I'm just using Minnesota as an example. They're not going to push they want to control the land in Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Wisconsin, but they don't plan to push people off. What this is, in my assessment, and this is you, I'm asking for your opinion. What year was it? 1987. Frank and Deborah Popper introduced the Buffalo Commons, where they said the Great Plains of America should have never been populated with people. We need the rewilding of the Great Plains. And everybody threw dirt on them. They said, go home, stay in New Jersey. You don't belong in the Great Plains of America. But what happened was that thought process permeated through the policymakers of the time. And we are now, 40 years later, we're now at the point where they're implementing all of these things. That's why in Montana, you got what's going on with the Save the Cowboy. And the reason that needs to happen, because you have an East Coast investment fund buying contiguous acres of land at the same time as you have the Bureau of Land Management, who just bought a 10,000 acre operation in Montana. You have the Bureau of Land Management who bought a place south of Cheyenne. And when they do that, Angel, the first thing they say is that we're going to rewild it. We're going to remove the cattle and just give the wildlife access so that the wildlife have someplace to go. I want to tell you what, you take Yellowstone Park and you expand that over to what's going on in north central Montana with the APR, and you look at what the federal government is controlling, and they're recreating the Buffalo Commons, and we're sitting back watching, letting it happen. We, not being you and I, but too many people. And I'm of the mindset that, hey, here are these folks that have this land. They're going to sell to the highest bidder. I can't tell you can't sell to the highest bidder, but at the same point in time, we've got to recognize that food production is a means of national security, and it's eroding one conservation easement at a time away from us.
So Buffalo Commons is it. I mean, that is the rewilding. I have a copy of an email from March 22 of the USDA bragging that they now have so much CRP land in western Nebraska, Kansas, and eastern Colorado that they now have created a wildlife corridor. So in order to do that and to build that Buffalo Commons, you have to move people out. And I'm not talking about people in the cities. I'm talking about people that are producing the food here in the United States. One of the more frustrating things is in the omnibus bill that came out, I was glancing through that. And I was so pleased to see that they recognize that we have these major shortages here in the United States. Do you know what our federal government thinks the answer is for those shortages?
It's to give money to Ukraine.
No, it's to create storage. we need to build up our story. So think about that. You're creating a Cuba. So if you need, you want to build a new car, say, and you need these computer chips to go in it, mm-hmm. you're going to have to rely on storage that was made and put up, what, 2 years ago, instead of what is the most innovative and out there today. So now you are holding back the innovation in your own country by putting that concentration into storage rather than bringing back manufacture and production to the United States. So to me, it is actually moving us away from agriculture, building this whole entire plain straight into a park, moving everybody into the city because they want buffalo out here, yes, but apparently a lot of solar panels and wind turbines too, because I guess that gets along really well with buffalo. And of course, these trails so that we can all come out and view and see the windmills, solar farms, and buffalo roaming on them. So it's doomed to fail. That's the only thing that I can think is it's doomed to fail. My fear is that everybody's going to forget how we got there to begin with, and they're not going to know how to get us out of it, you know? And we're already seeing that in our grocery store. And nobody is... Well,
chicken at $13 a pound. What else do you need to know?
Yep.
But let's go back to day one of Angel Cushing really zoning in on what's happening. And you were the one, even though people said you're a kook, she's a whack job, they're never going to ban barbed wire fences. But that was the one thing that captured the attention of folks. And you saw this, you witnessed this in Lyon County, Kansas. That at the end of the day is what it's really all about, removing the fence and rewilding the Great Plains of America.
Yep. Yeah, it made us, everything outside of Emporia would have turned us into a public park, really. We're in the Flint Hills. The idea of banning barbed wire and electric fences is still, to this day, unbelievable. Nobody really, nah, you know, we're not that far. Nobody would do that here, you know. I still get that to this day. The Lyon County officials still try to convince everybody that Angel Cushing is a liar. You know, and even though it's in black and white for anybody to read, they are banking on, when I say they, I mean the policymakers at the federal level that are pushing this down to the local level. They are banking that nobody will read their own regulations. You're just going to go by what they tell you. And so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And then... So get involved. I mean, a lot of these policies and stuff are now in pictures. And I don't know if that's because of the policymakers needing the pictures or they think the people reading them need the pictures. But these are not great big huge documents like the omnibus bill. These types of things at the local level are usually about 60% pictures. So you can understand them and be capable. And the most important thing, so if you have form-based zoning or anything that looks questionable to you, and they're trying to tell you that, oh, you're just interpreting it wrong, one of the most important lessons that I got was, imagine you're standing in a courtroom, and maybe you're on the prosecution side, and you're asking a judge for a warrant, or maybe you're a defendant, and you're asking the judge for relief, in which case, whatever document you're looking at, imagine that you're in a courtroom. And then how you interpret that comes into perspective and you say, oh, okay, you understand it a lot more clearly.
Yeah, well, all you need is a picture of the prairie dotted with windmills, which, by the way, I'm using today my Minnesota example. That was the first state where I really saw these windmills just to no end. And I need to spend more time in Minnesota and see what has happened after a long period of time, because they've been there now for 20 plus years, but it's about,
you know, removing. I ran into one of those, you
can tell me about that in a moment, Angel Cushing. Oh. You ran into somebody, and we'll be back with that story after this. The Wall of Honor creates the opportunity to say thank you to those local heroes. I'm talking about the first responders as well as the veterans. Tom Cushing, Angel's husband, is a great example of just continues to pour out for his country and his fellow man. But we need to pay tribute, to pay honor, to show our respect, to know that people know that we appreciate this and we're going to carry the torch. The Wall of Honor gets that done. We do that on a local level. Get more information about how you can be a part of the solution. Go to thewalloffhonor.org. Submit your loved one. Find a place you want to put up the Wall of Honor or make a contribution. Thewalloffhonor.org. Welcome back. Trent Lewis, Angel Cushing. We are into the final segment. She's coming to us from Emporia, Kansas, the Flint Hills of Kansas. And you, I had to cut you off when you said, I ran into the other day.
Well, when I was in Wyoming, I ran into a bunch of people who told me about one of the first windmill farms that they got out there that has now been decommissioned and pulled down because once the federal subsidies ran out, they couldn't get a buyer for it. You know what they're putting in now in that place in that same solar. Spot? Where yes, this big, huge solar farm. And one to grid off. Yeah, it's but that too will come with big, huge federal subsidies.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had the numbers and I'll have to go back and review them on the impact of solar, but we'll do that another, the next time you come.
Well, I'm hearing that over in Europe, everybody's lining up to get coal to stay warm because the solar and the wind failed over there. Have you heard that?
Oh, absolutely. Germany has flip-flopped several times, and they're back buying massive amounts of coal from Russia again because their energy policy, which was exactly where we're trying to go, has created a vulnerable situation. And south of us in Texas, they're doing the same exact thing with wind and solar, and they're now at 37% of their energy grid, electric grid, comes from wind and solar. Every expert in Texas has told them if you're over 20%, you're vulnerable. You can do 20% and get along okay. You're going to have a crash. The crash is coming. At some point, there will be a crash because we don't pay attention to what our cousins in Europe are doing.
That is very frustrating. It really is. So, like, you have Jay Truitt and the guys on here, and they talk about how to prepare for worst-case scenarios. One of the shows that I would like to hear is, how do I water my animals when I have no electricity and the heaters and the water tanks don't work and it's, you know, middle of Nebraska or Kansas winter? You know, we've got old metal tanks and we can set up a fireplace inside of it. But boy, when you start having to bust ice to pull off of the lake to put in there to melt for watering your stock, you realize just how much water they drink. So what is the best method in a worst case scenario? If I can't find very good plumbing pipes to drill down and tap a spring, or maybe I don't have a spring, how do you water? How did they do it back in the old days before electricity?
Well, I was just going to say that the pioneers made it work. But, you know, here's the end of the day, the real crux of the issue. You're going to have a limited number of animals because you ultimately are going to increase labor requirements to the point where you're going to be carrying 5-gallon buckets. You're going to be doing something that we have relied on electricity to do. They did that back then, but they did not have the sheer number of animals that we have today, which at the end of the day is the objective, to remove these animals from our ownership. That's the plan.
Yep. Yes, it is. So,
and the animals, here's the thing, Angel, the animals are not about providing your and my lifestyle.
No.
By the way, if this is a lifestyle somebody dreams about, come help me, because you can live the dream with me. But more importantly, the reason we have animals is to improve the planet and improve human health. God put them here for a reason, two reasons. It improves the planet by consuming products that are grown that contribute to environmental atmospheric health, i.e. carbon dioxide, even methane, which has a benefit. It's not some toxic pollutant that you don't want. It's something that it's an essential element. And, oh, by the way, at the end of the day, they improve human health like nothing else.
Indeed. You know, and in that health, that is the biggest motivation of why I'm still doing what I'm doing is I have a grandbaby with type 1 diabetes. And do you know that meat is the only food group that can be eaten that does not require insulin? It breaks down and digests in your body so slow that you do not require to having to take insulin. And so that's important because insulin builds up in the body for somebody with type 1 diabetes, and then it takes years off of their life. That is the cause of the heart disease and all the complications that we hear about that come with diabetes. If he's going to outlive me, and I'm never going to bury him, and he carries my casket in the end, then he needs meat in his diet. So I have a hard habit of calling vegans baby killers, because your average age of somebody diagnosed with type 1 diabetes is under the age of 10. It's not uncommon to see infants diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So by pulling meat off of the menu or making it so unaffordable for these families that are already having to spend a lot of money on doctor's appointments and insulin, and you're killing the weakest among us. So that's a big motivator. I am determined that that child will carry my casket. I will not carry his. So it's very, very important to me. Meat production is very important to me.
I'm going to have to share with you what I can hear if she was listening. Our 25-year-old registered dietitian daughter who is shouting, Angel, you're absolutely right. Because that's her area field is what's going on in the diabetes world. But she's going to make sure you include salmon in the meat category. I'm just saying.
That's okay. A little bit of fish once in a while is okay. But, you know, that's... Yeah. That's under attack too. Apparently,
no, absolutely it is.
Up there in Alaska, they have shut off snow crab fishing for the season up there.
I know.
So that the idea is to go completely vegan and put everything on grain. And I keep thinking, well, how are you going to grow these crops without animals?
Wait a minute. You are the pioneer. I just put this all together. Angel Cushing was the first one that told the world about there's a plan to get rid of our barbed wire fences. Everybody said you're nuts. You're also the first one that told everybody they're going to want us to eat crickets. Yeah. You brought that to light there. You experienced that in your home county, and you're the first one I know of that brought both of those things to the forefront. You're a pioneer, Angel Cushing.
Thank you. I to this day, I must confess, 3 years later, I have not yet eaten one bug. On purpose.
Oh, I contend you eat a lot of bugs. You just don't know it.
Not on purpose.
You don't put blue cheese dressing on them and think it's going to be a tasty meal.
There's no cricket farming here. My chickens and my birds do a pretty good job of keeping the population down. But yes, the protein of the future is going to be bugs, which turns out has a lot of toxic properties. Do you know bugs are used a lot in medicine? So before I go, I have to tell you one little thing. I hired this kid once a week that comes out and rides my horses to keep them fresh because Tom and I are getting pretty busy. And just yesterday, she left a great big huge container of jelly beans, and I'm not going to tell you the brand. The whole time that I'm now addicted to these jelly beans, and I'm probably going to have to buy her some more jelly beans.
You know that jelly beans are not in the meat category, right?
I do know that jelly beans are not
in the meat category. I just want to clarify that. Go ahead.
But you know, these little jelly beans are flavored so well that while I'm eating them, I keep thinking about a news story that I heard a few years ago about the state of Oklahoma passing legislation against using kidney and human body flavoring and enhancers in any food sold in Oklahoma. So I'm sitting here eating these wonderfully tasting jelly beans thinking, is anybody monitoring that and paying attention as to making sure that that's not bugs or anything else is going into our everyday snacks that we love so much? You know, who are the policers of that organization? Because we know, you know, the FDA and all those groups really aren't doing it.
Is there cochineal in those jelly beans?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's from an insect. Dye number 4 is an insect derivative.
Yeah. What about the popcorn tasting ones? Gosh, and the chocolate tasting ones also really, really. I might have to go back to smoking to give up this jelly bean habit.
Is there a kidney or liver flavored jelly bean?
No, there is no kidney or liver flavored.
Wait a minute. Angel, you can't do this. You can't bring up something about these jelly beans you were eating and then not tell us what you learned. Tell us that you did research to learn what was in there.
I've been afraid too, because I don't want to find out that I've been eating, you know, aborted babies with kidney flavoring enhancers. We take for granted a lot of that stuff. So it is in the back of my mind, and I have to throw a blanket over the jelly beans to keep me from eating any more. How much of that stuff that I don't want to be eating am I consuming?
Well, it is addictive.
It is addictive.
No doubt about it. One thing I can guarantee you had is the sugar. I'm not anti-sugar, but our sugar consumption is way out of whack.
I would much rather do corn syrup than sugar. I have found, you know, what's worse?
Sugar is sugar.
You know what's worse than sugar in a particular case of that diabetic grandchild?
I didn't know the diabetic child was coming before I said fentanyl, because that's worse than sugar.
Oh, amen. But in a dietary sense, what requires the most insulin and the most monitoring is your grains, your cereal grains, your oat, your wheat, corn, not as much, but basically oat and wheat. Will you give him a bowl of oatmeal in the morning, he will be high all day long and require corrections all day long.
Wow.
That is, it has more sugar in it than a spoonful of sugar. So
the sad irony of that is that Kellogg's, the whole plan pre-1900 with Helen White as their dietitian, was to convert people away from animal products and get off of bacon and eggs for breakfast and eat cereal so that we could have a healthy diet. And now I think that cereal is the main contributor to poor health and diabetes of all food groups. No doubt about it.
That and potato chips.
No, I'm not touching potato chips. Well, I'm not touching. I'll touch a potato chip. I love potato chips. Angel Cushing, parting bits of wisdom are...
Pay attention and get involved. Most important is get involved. Please get involved.
The only true foe you have is complacency. Do not accept complacency. Be like Angel Cushing and tell Tom the veteran, thank you. And by the way, all veteran families, I learned up close and personal, the sacrifice is not just the people serving, it's the families like Angel and the kids. We've successfully journeyed down the road, connecting rural and urban food producers, food consumers, insect phobias, and meat eaters. Angel and I both remind you that all roads do lead to a rural route. Once again, just want to quickly remind you the Protect the Harvest Whitetails Unlimited fundraiser is taking place on the 21st day of January. Protect the Harvest is all about empowering you to make sure that we continue to have whitetails and that we can continue to harvest whitetails. It's all about Protect the Harvest. Get details and empower it yourself by going to the website, sign up for the newsletter. A free and fed America depends on you activating protecttheharvest.com.